Two Devers, an exposition of Luke 7, 36 to 50, by Robert C. Newman. The incident, verses 36 through 39 of Luke 7. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who'd invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." So, a little about the incident here. We see that Jesus is invited to dinner at the home of a Pharisee, who we find out is named Simon in a couple verses here. While dining there, and they're reclining on couches, as we saw in the picture earlier, a woman who is a notable sinner comes in. This in itself is not terribly surprising either. Right? It's not uncommon in that culture for outsiders to watch a banquet in progress. She stands behind Jesus with a jar of perfume, and then she breaks down weeping, and her tears fall on Jesus' feet. She perhaps becomes embarrassed. She wipes his feet with her hair, begins to kiss them, and anoint them with perfume. Simon thinks this is clear evidence that Jesus is no prophet. Jesus' parable, verses 40 through 43. Jesus answered him, responded to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. So, Jesus tells Simon the parable without letting on that he knows what Simon is thinking. And the parable is that there are two fellows in debt to a moneylender. One of them owes 500 denarii, the other owes a tenth as much, 50 denarii. How big an amount of money is this? We find out from one of other of Jesus' parables that a denarius a day was a wage for a day laborer. So in that terms, the smaller debt is 50 days' wages, and the larger debt is 500 days' wages. So they're not trivial debts. Neither of them can pay, but pretty surprisingly, the lender forgives them both. Well, then Jesus asks the question, who will love the creditor more? And Simon responds, I imagine the one forgiven more. And Jesus giving positive reinforcement, as teachers are supposed to do, at least with right answers, says, you're right. Well, how does this apply to the particular incident? We see that in verses 44 through 50. Then he, Jesus, turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? A little ironic. I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? So Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So, a question, who loves Jesus more? And applying the parable to the incident, the two debtors are pretty clearly Simon and the woman, huh? So, who loves Jesus more, Simon or the woman? It's striking that if you think through the details of the parable here, the score, if you like, of the evidence comes out with the same ratio as the debts in the parable, namely 1 to 10. Let's have a look at that. I draw up a scorecard with evidence in the left column, and then Simon and the woman on the right-hand side, and their scores. Well, the invitation to dinner, Simon scores 1, the woman scores 0. Though I wouldn't be surprised, the woman would very much have wanted to invite Jesus and would have done so if she thought Jesus would accept her or something of that sort. But still, it's 1-0 in favor of Simon. And then there's a question of washing the feet. Washing feet was a fairly standard practice in the Middle East because, particularly at least in the non-rainy season, it's dusty and people have walked from whatever distance to come to the dinner and such. But Simon does not do that, so we give him a score of 0. Now we give the woman a score of 4. Why, you say, why do we do that? And shouldn't she just get 1? Well, she not only has Jesus' feet washed, which Simon should have done. Simon would not be expected to do it himself, but have a servant do it. But the woman not only has Jesus' feet washed, she does it herself. And she doesn't do it with normal water. She does it with tears. And she doesn't wipe his feet with a towel. She wipes his feet with her hair. So I give her 4 points for that, for washing Jesus' feet, for doing it herself, for doing it with her tears, and for wiping his feet with her hair. And then she kisses Jesus. Simon would, in fact, perhaps be expected is too strong, but for a guest that he was glad to have there, would kiss the guest when the guest came in. And he doesn't, so there's 0 there. The woman I give 3 to, and why is that? Well, she not only kisses Jesus, but she kisses his feet, and she kisses his feet continually. So 3 points for that. And then the anointing. It would be a fairly common practice for a host to anoint the head of a guest, and Simon doesn't do that, so 0 for that. And I give the woman 3 points here. And that is because she not only anointed Jesus, but she anointed his feet, and she not only anointed his feet with what they normally would anoint their head with, perfumed olive oil, she anoints his feet with perfume, a much more expensive thing, rather like the difference between cologne and perfume or something of that sort. Well, then if you run the totals up, the scorecard is 1-10, so the woman has shown 10 times as much gratitude as Simon has. So Jesus' warrant. Because of this evidence, Jesus has warrant before Simon and the guests to say that the woman loves Jesus more. And therefore, Jesus concludes that this must be because she has been forgiven more. And he then forgives her. Why was she forgiven? On what basis was she forgiven? At first, it looks like Jesus says that the woman is forgiven because she loved more. But this does not actually fit the parable. Go back and look at the parable. In the parable, the creditor forgives the debtors because they cannot pay, and not mentioned, but because he is gracious. And that's perhaps emphasized in having a professional money lender as a creditor here, and forgiving them even though they cannot pay. As a result, they love the creditor. That's basically the question that Jesus raises there. So in the parable, the forgiveness is because the people cannot pay, and because the one who forgives them is gracious, and the love is a result. Now, it's true that in Jesus' words, he does say, "Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." But this does not necessarily mean that she was forgiven in return for her love. Not only does the parable seem to point against that, I think there's reason to say that the love that the woman shows is Jesus' warrant for saying that she has been forgiven. Compare a statement like this, "It's late because the clock says 10 o'clock. 10 p.m., Well, what's going on there? Does the clock cause it to be 10 p.m., or does the clock saying it cause it to be 10 p.m., or cause it to be late? No. One has warrant for saying it's late because the clock is indicating this. Or take another example. It must be hot outside since we're selling so much ice cream, says one of the employees in an ice cream place. Huh? Well, is the sale of the ice cream causing it to be hot outside? No. Rather, it's the other way around, if you like. It's hot outside, and that is encouraging the ice cream sale, if you like. So because or since here in these sentences is the warrant for the first statement. So Jesus is saying, this woman has been forgiven much because I see that she is loving much. That's the warrant for saying that she's been forgiven. What's the application of this parable to us? Well, something about Jesus' person and work. Simon says, if he were a prophet about Jesus, he would know what kind of woman this is, that she is a sinner. And in the upshot of all this, Jesus is shown to be a prophet, as Simon comes to learn, that he knew what Simon was thinking. But he knew what the woman was, but he knew what had happened in the woman's heart. And Jesus also is seen to be more than a prophet here, claiming to be more than a prophet. He claims that he can forgive sin, and the group of guests there recognize that that claim is something very strong. Who can forgive sins but God alone, if you like? Well, another lesson. The Bible tells us that all people are sinners, from the most righteous person, we might say like Simon, we can't see inside Simon's heart, to the most wicked, like the woman. Though some of us are worse sinners than others, none of us can pay the debt we owe God. How is that? Well, we are commanded to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and none of us do. And ever since we were little babies, we've been building up a bigger and bigger debt. And every moment, the debt gets bigger. And there's no way we can pay it, because we can't love God with more than all of our heart and mind and soul and strength in order to catch up, so to speak. And take even the easier second commandment, love your neighbors yourself. It's very rare that we ever, in any incident, love our neighbor as much as ourselves, though perhaps there are a few of those in our lives. But look at all the ones that we haven't done that, and how can we catch up with that? Though some of us are worse sinners than others, none of us can pay the debt we owe God. But God graciously forgives those who ask him, just as the moneylender here apparently graciously forgave the two debtors here, even though neither of them could pay. God graciously forgive those who ask him by bearing the loss himself, just as the moneylender did, since God, in Jesus, paid the price upon the cross, as he took himself the loss, if you like, and satisfied justice by God the Son paying the price. Huh? Well, application to us. What about us? And the question this parable raises is there unmistakable evidence in our lives that we have been forgiven? For the woman in this incident, the unmistakable evidence was the sacrificial love that she showed toward Jesus. Something had happened to her that now she comes in and risks all this embarrassment and ridicule in order to show her love for Jesus. Elsewhere in the Bible, I think particularly 1 John, obedience to God, love for fellow humans, is seen as unmistakable evidence that a person is forgiven. Other evidence in another parable that we might call the parable of the two debtors, Matthew 18, sometimes called the parable of the unforgiving servant, another evidence is a forgiving spirit. If a person doesn't have a forgiving spirit, that's an indication that they really haven't been forgiven. Or in Galatians chapter 5, that list of things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, etc., evidences that we have been forgiven. If we lack these things, sacrificial love, obedience to God, love for humans, etc., forgiving spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, we have no right to think that we are really forgiven. A scary thing to think about. Well, that's the end of our quick discussion of this parable. My prayer is that may you too seek God's forgiveness, and God will give you forgiveness if you seek it from Him, if you turn to Him and desire Him. Well, thank you for your patience in listening to, watching this presentation. May the Lord give you grace.